Excellent. Thank you everybody for coming. Isaac, Ez, Sal, Hami, Dr. Levy. Oh, beautiful to see you. Everybody that's here. Thank you. It's Machazek, everybody else. So the topic we're going to do is the structure of tefillah. What makes tefillah a whole unit? For example, like what's Shema, Kriyat Shema, doing in the middle of davening? Kriyat Shema is a standalone mitzvah. It says in the Torah you do it when you go to sleep and when you wake up. And there's a totally different mitzvah, la'avdu b'chol levavchem. What do they have to do with each other that they overlap? That we have, we made sure to put the Shema together with the tefillah right next to it. Why is it? What's that all about? So we're going to discuss, I think, a little bit behind what's tefillah all about, and then we'll get to the halachot about what do you do when you come late to davening? What do you skip? How do you try to get the tefillah? What's the best way to negotiate that? But let's first focus on the structure. So I have three questions for tonight. Okay, and I want to hear your thoughts. If you have a siddur, you'll help me. It'll be easier to follow along to put this together. First question is, this is a segue to the rest of the discussion, is we have an idea that the world stands on three pillars, right? Anybody know what they are? In Pirkei Avot, the second Mishnah, Olam Omed al Shlosh Devarim. Isaac, you have it? Ah, exactly. Torah, Avodah, and Masim Tovim. Beautiful. So what are we going to do when there's no Torah? Baruch Hashem, now we have Torah. People are learning yeshivas in America, in Israel, in Mexico, everywhere across the globe. Baruch Hashem, Hashem, Rashi and Tanit says, Hashem spread us out to the four corners of the world. This way we'll learn Torah at all times. Reb Chaim V'Lozhin made a big deal about this. No, someone would be learning Torah in the whole world. At one moment, the world will go back to tohu vavohu. It's based on a drasha the Chazal come up with, Lo chukot shemayim va'aretz. If I didn't have the establishment of nature of the rest of the world, I'm sorry, im lo briti yomam v'layla, chukot shemayim va'aretz lo samti. I wouldn't set the laws of nature into place without briti, with my covenant. Chazal said they're talking about the Torah. If people aren't keeping Torah, if people aren't learning Torah at all times, that's the end of the world. So what happened before Matan Torah for 2,448 years? There was, sorry, for 1948 years, almost 2,000 years. No, 2,448 years was the year of Matan Torah. What happened for 2,000 years? No Torah. How did the world stand? That's the first question. Any answers, any thoughts? The title already or the topic tonight might give it away. But if not, we'll hold on to that thought. Any idea, suggestion?
Abraham Yitzhak Yaakov, supposedly, I mean, Abraham obviously did all the mitzvot. They must have spent some time contemplating, learning during the day. Number one. Number two, yeah, Briti and Matan Torah, we didn't occur as a nation, and the Chiyuv didn't wasn't maybe not Chal before 2448.
Okay, I like both of those, but I'm gonna still press. I'm gonna still ask. But how do you have a chair that stands on two legs? Whether obligated or not, isn't that a wobbly chair? I hear. Also, the avot I hear is a good point. The avot, the pillars of the world. But on the other hand, they're ma'aseh ma'kavah. But wait a minute, shouldn't we? The Gemara says for 2,000 years the world was tohu. There was emptiness in the world, 2,000 years of Torah, and then 2,000 years of Mashiach. We're still waiting for Mashiach. For 2,000 years stretch of time, we're preparing for Mashiach. So from the times of Matan Torah until the days of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, about years 4,000 until the destruction of Beit HaMikdash, we had Torah. So those 6,000 years of history. But the first 2,000 years, Chazal don't call years of Torah, they're called years of Tohu. How did the world exist? And that's the first question. Okay,
Well,
but
how do you divide the 2,000, 2,000, 2,000 again?
the Gemara in the last paragraph
First,
in
second.
I think it's like, I don't know, Daf Sadi Tet or something in Sanhedrin says there's 6,000 years of the history of the world corresponding to the 6 days of creation, 2,000 years of Tohu, of emptiness, 2,000 years of Torah, and 2,000 years of Mashiach. And 2,000 years of Torah correspond roughly between that, sorry, not, I didn't, I, sorry, I said incorrectly, from the days of Matan Torah. Go from the days of Avram, when Avram was 58 years old until the days of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi passing away. That was the years of Torah being established. Avram Avinu started Torah. So let me ask, what about before Avram? So, Dr. Levy, you're right. There was Torah from Avram Avinu, but before him. So that's, I'm just pushing the ball a little further. That's question number one. Okay, ready? Question number two. Here it comes. Anybody see the minhag ever about giving tzedakah at tefillah, before tefillah, during tefillah.
By Baruch David.
Absolutely. Okay, Baruch David. By Mincha, anybody ever see?
Yeah, Mincha.
And what about Arvit?
No, Hektarim, Urim, Vavarim. It's a little less
Rishut,
than
Rishut. Yes, I accept. In fact,
Rishut. You can give tzedakah
get away with two times. No, the ikar is the chidas is al pi kabbalah. It's only two times a day with tzedakah. We'll try to get back. He says it's sha'av din at night. It's a time not of rachamim. It's rachamim during the day when the sun is out. At night is a time of din. Someone who gives tzedakah at time of din, the satan and mekatreg. The satan gets upset. What are you taking over my domain? It's not a time of tzedakah. Because we'll get back to tzedakah. The satan is forced to admit to Hashem, and he doesn't want to. So the Gemara has a whole story about it. All right. So, but what does tzedakah have anything to do with davening? Why is it the minhag that Vayevarech David gives tzedakah? It goes back to that Rizal. And at Ashrei, a poteh b'yedecha of mincha, people give tzedakah. Why is that? So, any ideas behind that? Why is tzedakah associated with davening? It's a good thing, but why now? Okay, I see. A good answer. We'll try to elaborate, try to figure out exactly. So it's still like there's still two different tracks. What are they meeting up around tefillah? Third question.
Aspect. You could also call your parents. You can do many other ben adam l'chaverot type of things. And you do gibudim, you can do all kinds of things. I don't know. Why tzedakah per se?
Right.
Like why?
Maybe we should do Bikur Cholim in the morning. Right. What are we gonna
Right.
do?
Yeah, run to the hospital, do Bikur Cholim, come back, next.
That would be a lot harder to do. Do you leave Shul now to call them?
Okay. Fair, fair.
No,
We have to make it feasible.
we bring the sick. Remember when the Reverend was at the Klein Gallen home and I bought him for Selichot? We take the sick person and we bring him to Shul. Everybody in the bucket.
Okay. Two and one. So it goes like this. Okay, third question. First question was, what, how could the world exist without Torah 2,000 years? And what is tzedakah doing with davening? The last question is, we have a very precious mitzvah that we used to do in the Beit HaMikdash, and we read about every day, twice, three times, is the Ketoret. The Ketoret has how many simanim? How many spices, ingredients? How many, you know this one? How many you ever see in the Ketoret? We say...
11 spices.
Absolutely. Ah, 11 spices. Question is, where does 11 come up? Why is 11 important? It should be 10. We talked about it the first week. 10 is significant because of Minyan. Shechinah comes, 10 Tevachim to the ground. 10 is 10 Sfirot. There are 10 Mamarim that created the world. 10 Dibrot, 10 Makot. 10 generations from Avram to Noah. To Noah. What's 11? So in like, we had to get thrown one more. We made a mistake. The chel, we didn't know what to do, so we said it can't fit 10. You just got to toss in one more. Why 11? When does 11 appear in Torah? That's an important number. Any ideas? Anybody ever see 11 as a chashuv number?
We say it's really 10, but the chel b'na is
Oh.
the nish so gelet, and we
That's
include
the Rosh Rabbi. The Rashash has a Chidush. He says, look, you're making a minyan of all the spices. Chalbana smells bad. Doesn't we kick him out. So we have to include it, but it doesn't count. So we have a minyan with one more person that doesn't count for the minyan, like the Rasha. Now, but really, why do we need him? Let's just make a ketoret missing the chalbana. Why do we want? We want it there, but we don't want it there. When we did the 10 Dibrot, Hashem gave 10 Dibrot. He didn't give us 10 Dibrot plus one fake joke out, one fake out. He gave us 10 Dibrot, or 10 Sfirot, or 10 Ma'amarot that created the world.
Maybe we have to, before we confront Hashem, like Ezra was alluding to before, and like the concept of the say, Purim is coming, Mishloach Manot, we have to make sure, or Mitpalel Imha that concept also. We have to make sure everything's kosher. We have no fights. This with Am Yisrael and be one. Then you can come, Shalem in front of Hashem without any kasot, any.
So I guess we should just listen to Chacham Levi. Okay, so I don't need to give the shir. You have it. in your pocket.
No, I'm
So
just kidding.
here we go. On the first question, and now I'm gonna start sharing, and then we're gonna put this together. The first question, and I'm gonna try to develop this more. Some things will be more exciting, and some of it's just gonna be, we're gonna try to understand what goes into making tefillah special. So, the 2,000 years that there was no Torah, the Gemara says the world was shaky. The world was it was in balance. It was waiting until the day that Klal Yisrael would accept the Torah. And there were 26 generations from the time of the creation until that time of the Torah. Avram until Noah was 10. Noah until Yaakov, Noah until, I got it all backwards. Adam to Noah is 10. Noah till Avram 10. And then Avram down to Moshe 6. 20, 10, 10, 6. We got ourselves 26. Now, anybody know why 26 is special? Sal, or whoever, Sal want to get this one? Why would ever hear 26? All right, we can call for phone a friend. Hold on, I missed, sorry.
Say it again, Saul.
Say Gematria of Hashem's name.
Excellent. Okay. Says the Gemara, thank you, Sal, that there were 26 generations when there was no Torah, but everybody relied on the mercy, the Rachamim, the name of Rachamim, the name of mercy of Hashem for 26 generations. We say the Perek of Hodu Hashem Ki Tov, Ki Lo'olam Chasdo, with 26 Pesukim, mentioning Hashem's name and mentioning Ki Lo'olam Chasdo 26 times. And when we do on Yom Kippur, 26 vayavors. We're trying to say we are using, we want to rely on Hashem's merits for 20. That's what happened in those 26 generations, based on Hashem's rachamim alone, without having coming to, because we put in effort and we accept His Torah and keep His Torah and learn His Torah, even that alone. Rav Nachman Breslov says that from there we derive a concept that even exists somewhat today, is the emunah pshutah, absolute connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we connect to Him directly. We do most of it tefillah. It's somewhat on a higher plane than Torah. Which is the most important mitzvah in all the Torah? I should ask it that way. Usually we say, Torah. I Baruch Hashem, I have opportunity to learn a lot, and it's a wonderful, exciting mitzvah. Don't get me wrong, I love Torah. It Talmud Torah connect kulam, the Mishnah says. If you can choose one mitzvah, it seems like the best. But says the Hasidim, Rav Nachman, he says, you know what? Sometimes a good niggun, I don't know how you say it in Moroccan, but a good song, a good Mishnechnas, could sometimes raise the level, could be higher and superior and stronger and build our relationship with Hashem more than Talmud Torah. And he says, how do I know? Because the having that Emunah Pshuta lasted for 26 generations without our input. Now, it had to be, Emunah had to be that we look towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. There had to be some pillars in the world like Avraham Avinu that look towards Hashem and pray to Him. But that's what we're trying to accomplish when we dive in, connect back to the Avot, connect back to the Emunah Pshuta that keeps the world running. So that's the idea, main critical Pashut idea of Tefillah is know before we're standing. That's the idea of Tefillah. So when we say that the Vayavor, we're just trying to connect to Him. Everything else is sort of to get us to that point. There's a beautiful mashal story that goes like this. Once there was a king, and he lived in an awesome palace with 10 stories and had fancy walls, and there was a lot of trap doors and a lot of stairs and a lot of walls around it. In order to get up to the king's special private room in the top of the castle, it was really palace, it was really difficult. And around the palace, you had a moat, and then you had guard dogs, and then you got a bunch of ditches, and then you got your horses with the guard men on the horses, and then you got some barbed wire, and then you got the police with the tasers. You got a whole slew of obstacles making this one awesome challenge to try to make it into the palace. And the king posed a challenge to his country. He says, anybody who can make it to my room, I'll spend time with them. I'll talk to them. So whoever wants to, they can come. And some of the mightiest warriors said, you know, we can do this. We can. So they tried, and one of them got bit by a dog, and another one fell into that hole, and other one drowned in the moat. It wasn't working out. Then the wisest guys in the country said, you know, we can do it. We're gonna outsmart this system, and they figured a way around the ditches, and they got it. around the moat, around the dogs. Finally got up to the castle, and then it was just too difficult to climb up the stairs and climb around the walls and get around the barbed wire. Couldn't make it. Finally, the son of the king was also banished outside this palace. Says, I got to do it. And he tries one time and he fails. He tries another time and he fails. He tries and gets bit by a dog and then goes into the moat and swims across and then goes into the castle and is all beaten up and finally is up to the last stair, opens the door, sees the king waiting for him with a big smile, with arm open wide. And as he's about to embrace his father, the king, he sees the vanish. He sees the entire castle and everything vanish before his eyes. There was nothing there, not a palace, not a barbed wire, not a dog, nothing. He asked the king, what happened? Where did everything go? He said, I made one awesome imagination. It was all one big illusion. And I just wanted to see that you were dedicated. Says the Baal Shem, that's a mashal to our experience in life. We're trying to get close to Hashem, and there are a lot of things in our way. Sometimes it's the frustrating job. Sometimes it's that homework assignment. Sometimes it could be our friends that are giving us a hard time and making us really hard to have good midos. Sometimes it's the lashon hara yetzahara. And sometimes even it's the prati specific mitzvot that we're trying to go towards Kodesh Baruch by doing the mitzvot, and we get caught up along the way and we forget we were trying to head towards, says the Baal Shem. The ikar is the dedication to know that the value in the journey is the journey itself, is that embrace that we're focused on. The focus is embracing Hashem. Everything else, Hevel, is worthless. It's not even there. It's just an imagination that we're in this world, that we have all these troubles, because really, and even all the mitzvot that we're doing are really just to get us closer to Hashem. That's the ikar. And we can accomplish that with tefillah. That's why tefillah, by the Hasidim, by Rav Nachman, by this idea of Hodeh L'Hashem Kitov, is above and higher level than tefillah. Because we're trying to get that embrace with Hashem. So everything else is hevel, is nothing. So here we go. Second question of, and we're going to get more into this. Second question is, well, I'm going to get back to those questions, specific questions, about what is tzedakah and what is ketoret. But first, I need to give some background so we can put on our hats, Kabbalah hats, whatever we got, try to figure this out. If you have your Siddurim, you could look along with me. Where do we say Kaddish? This is the Nusach, Moroccan Nusach Edu Mizrah. When do we say Kaddish in Shacharit? When are sometimes? Let's go through. I have a Siddur here. Any idea? When do we? Let's go start from the beginning. Isaac, you have one? Okay, we got a minyan, let's say, in the very beginning. Let's say everybody comes a half hour early to daven properly. Okay, the Beit Levi, I'm sure we got a beautiful minyan from the very beginning. So what are we going to do? When do we do the first
at
one?
At the end of Korbanot.
Ah, beautiful. After Korbanot, before we're going to start Hodu. Next, what comes after that? When's the next Kaddish? Okay, if usually we only do one. If you didn't get after a couple of notes, then you get, that's a makeup. Okay, yeah. So we'll count that as the same one. What comes next?
Chatzi Kaddish before Baruch Hu.
Good. So we're up to two so far. Then what comes after that?
You don't have one before Amidah and Shacharit.
You keep going straight, yeah.
Kabbal after Baal Etzion.
That's number four. Okay, good. Anybody want to give us the one in between? Okay, excellent teamwork here. Okay, so now we're up to four. We got ourselves. And then where else? After Baal Etzion? Shir Shal Yom. Got one more. Five.
And then before Aleinu.
Before Aleinu. Excellent. Six. Okay.
Ashkenaz.
Ashkenazim do that. Excellent. Okay, good. We have the Ikar. Six so far. Okay, good. So the Arizal says, he's going to break down for us how does tefillah work in his view. And he says you can break it down to the four main sections of the way the spiritual world works. is that they're connected to the four name, the four letters of Hashem's name. Now, I'm going to try to explain it on the most basic level. I'm not a Kabbalist, and I'm not saying we're going to reach these olamot tonight. But this is stuff like Rabbi Mansur gives. This is something I just want to give the beginning, so just so we can appreciate the beauty of the Arizal. If we get nothing out of it besides the following ideas, and I'm going to say some stuff from the Buchasera family, and we'll say from the Rashash and others, the idea is that it's going to, everything in Torah fits like a glove. It all works together. When you see the Arizal, and you see how all the Avod and all the Tzadikim in the Tanakh, everything lines up beautifully with the way their Eretz Yisrael is constructed, the way with the human body is. Everything mixes with everything. The Tefillah is beautiful. It's a beautiful artwork that you just analyze everything and it works beautifully together. So we're going to get a little glimpse of it. The Arizal says there are four olamo, four levels of reality. In the highest level, it's Atzilut. That's just pure essence of Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu on his 49th level of Chachma only saw the back of Atzilut. Only was able to see Hashem in his back, so to speak, in the most faint view of what that's really about. If the person was there, they would see nothing. Because in Atzilut, there is nothing in Old Milvado. There's nothing besides Hashem, not even angels. Not people, not angels. If you were in Atzilut, it'd be like a black hole. You'd be sucked up right into HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing there. Not even other spiritual beings. Just Hashem. Because that's the Ikar. Hashem is there. And that's it. Does that make sense? That's Atzilut. Atzilut is existence. It's most pure. Then we go down one level below that. Hashem is, so to speak, mitzamtzem himself. In his ultimate perfection, Hashem decided to create this world. So he constricted his own Kedusha to allow for angels. That's the next level down. The highest angels, the Seraphim, the highest angels, they come into the world of Bria. It's a creation. Hashem didn't create angels on the second day of creation. It's the second. So we have a Yud is the first, then K. That's the second letter of Hashem. That's Bria. Things are created in the world. And then we have another level down is Yetzirah. Those are also spiritual entities. Man could sometimes reach this level, but this is also the lower level of the angels. According to the Rambam, also a little bit, the planets, the constellations, all the mazalot, kochavim, shedim, they also fit in the realm of the lower level of the spiritual entities. They have, in some faint level, an idea of bechira. Angels could make mistakes, as the Midrashim talk about by Sodom. They made a mistake, they fell into the Yetzirah. Angels could also, they're distinct entities from Hashem. And then the lowest level is Asiya. That's where we have our physical world. Is Somer, Domeim, Chaim, and Dabir. Man's neshama is on the highest level. But what's special about man is like this. Nefesh Chaim quotes a midrash that says, if a Jewish person has an improper thought one time, that's worse than the entire destruction of the Beit HaMikdash that was done by Titus. By Titus destroying the entire Beit HaMikdash, setting it on fire. How horrific and how terrible, how such a chilul Hashem, how much of a massacre of Jewish people was the destruction of Beit HaMikdash. How is one thought of one Jewish person, one second, stronger? Says Reb Chaim Volozhin, very simple. He said, because the neshama of a Jew is so incredibly powerful. Imagine you had a million ants trying to move a mountain, or you had a bulldozer. A million ants are not going to move a mountain nearly as quick as a bulldozer. That's the Jewish neshama. The Jewish neshama is a bulldozer. It's going to plow through all the olamos. He says a different mushel is if you ever seen like a big bell. Sometimes on church at the top of churches they have a big bell with a rope that they have attached to the bell. That's at top of 10-story building. They have a bell with a rope that goes all the way down. What happens when you pull that rope just a little bit? Is it a tiny sound, a large? So you got a tremendous bong, an awesome sound just coming out of a small little reverberation at the bottom. And so too, our neshama, which also has these components of the sefirot, it has a section of a Kadosh Baruch Hu on all the olamot in some way or form. So we're like moving the angels. When we do something, the angels move. When we do something, Hashem silcha al yadi minecha. It says in Shir HaMaalot. Hashem is our reflection. When we do something, Hashem listens. So it, when we're doing something with our neshama, it makes reverberations in all the olamot much more than when the non-Jews are able to accomplish. So those are the sections of the tefillah. Here we go. The first section we start on this world. We enter Beit Levi, and now we're in Asiya, the creation world, the world of the physical world, the way we see it. That's connected to the last half of Hashem's name. And then we talk about that when we get into Korbanot, Brachot HaShachar, the physical world. Then we move our way up with the Kaddish. Each Kaddish is one step closer. So Isaac listed for us the six. Here's ladder number one, escalator, elevator number one. We bump up from Asiya, from the physical, getting it done, reality, this physical world that you see with us, to Yetzira. A world of creation, of creativity, a spiritual world, a more elevated world. Then we got ourselves with another Kaddish after Tobasik of Zimra, that's praising Hashem using all the aspects of nature, including the constellations. We talk about Halu and Hashem, Min HaShemayim, the third of the Halukas. The stars sing praise of Hashem. There's seven Halukas of Shemayim and one of the ground, eight altogether above the world. That's encompassed in second level. We bump ourselves up to the third one. We take the next Kaddish and we make ourselves into the Briah world. That's the regional creations, the beginning of spirituality as we know, because it's separate from Hashem himself. That is Bruch HaKrishma. And in there, we have to affirm Hashem Echad. Because in that existence, it's very easy to sort of say, wait a minute, we've just taken a step outside of Yetzilut, outside of total existence of Hashem, and we have it, we're on such an awesome level now, we have such a gaiva, we have such a spiritual ability, like we're something. And the angels originally, when the world was created, saw Adam, and they said, he's a god also. They were confused. They looked at Hashem, they looked at Adam, and they said, hey, he's like a god also. Now, we have to affirm there's only one HaKadosh Baruch Hu. With all these, all the Olamot, nothing has power besides the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Briah, we do Kadosh, 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 because even the constellation have to affirm, all the angels have to call out, Kadosh, 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 Hashem Sevakot. Hashem is one, and only him. Finally, we don't take a Kaddish to get into Shmona Esrei. Because of interruption. We don't want to interrupt at all between the oneness they're trying to establish with Briah and get back to Atzilut. That's the entire goal of Atzilut. A different mashal that the Kabbalists give is this is the idea of all of Kabbalah, basically. In a palace, there's a prince, a princess, rather, stuck in a palace, and there are a lot of terrible things surrounding the palace, and the job of this person, a prince, whatever, is to go save the princess in the palace. And no matter what he does, he has to make sure to take her out safely. Okay, that's a little bit like the job of a Jew in this world, say the Mekubalim. We have to go in and take the klipot, the shells that are scattered throughout the world. Beikar, they have 11 klipot, and they're scattered throughout the world. We'll try to figure out why 11, and bring them back together. And we bring them back together, then we'll come back closer to Atzilut, we'll come back to Mashiach, we'll come back to seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu all in unison. This world, Hashem's name is broken. There's a lot of things that are missing. We have anybody heard what letters of Hashem's name are missing? If we say, Yad Al-Kes Ka, does that help remind anybody? When we're coming up to Purim, we're going to read the Parsha of Zachor soon. Any ideas? Which letters? So it's all Yad Al Kes Ka. We say that Hashem's strength and power by his kisei, that's only spelled case, is with the name Ka. Yud K. Which letters are we missing if we just have Yud K?
Vav K.
Okay. Vav K. What's Gematria? What's the Gematria? Just the Vav K? 11. Good. There are 11 klipot in the world. Fine. That's what. Now, those letters we don't even know. We can't. We have as long until Mashiach comes. We have no real connection to those two letters. We usually say Bika Hashem Suro Lamim. Sometimes some people say that in Zbiro, it's Pasuk Yeshayahu. Ya Hashem Suro Lamim. With those two letters, Hashem created this world and the next world. And those two letters.
I think it's a Turkish custom to as that pasuk at the end of Ubal Zion.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So those are very special letters. Okay, so we're going to get back to those together. We're going to work on that. So here's another one. If you take the word mitzvah, mem, sadi, vav, hey. I'll show you the chart. But how do you take a mem in atash? The world was created, the Rokeach says, Ben Yishai quotes this, backwards from Hashem's Torah. Hashem's Torah was written black fire on white fire. Hashem wrote left to right. Now, if anybody writes Hebrew, which way do we write?
Right to left.
Right to left. Hashem wrote backwards. Hashem was a lefty? No. In Kabbalah, a little bit, the world was created with Tashrak, backwards. The alphabet, a little bit backwards. From the way, it's a reflection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to some degree. We saw Hashem's back. We see the world, the way we see it, is a little bit backwards. So what's the, take those two letters. Mem, Sadi, let's get to Apash. I have the chart, so you don't need to write it all out. Let's see. Let's see what we could do with it.
Story for the Levy family and Ike.
Yeah.
My father told me that my grandfather, when people would come to collect in Morocco or in San Francisco, Yosef Alevi, would ask them first to recite the alphabet backwards. And if they could, he would give them a terumah. And if they couldn't, he thinks they're not serious. They don't know their Torah. Goodbye. That would be the test.
Wow. Excellent. Okay, so you should know this by heart now. Okay, so if we look at Mem, if you look at Mem, if you take the alphabet in order, and you look, what does it correspond to? It corresponds to Yud. Apash Mem is a Yud. So let's remember that one. But what about Asadi? We're taking the word mitzvah and taking the Apash of the first two letters. What's the Apash of Sadi? Hey. So what do we have now? Yud for the Mem, Hey for the Sadi, and then we have two more letters. That's the Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Shloah says, since we're missing two letters in this Olam, Hashem says, I can't show you, expose you to the full, my full name, but I'll hide for you my name in this world by doing mitzvot. Take those two letters that of the first two letters that you see in this world, show them, express them the way you see them in the world backwards. Atbash, mem, sa, and yud, take the yud and the kei of your of Hashem's name, and there you go, you got mitzvah. Mitzvah is a partnership, like a sevet. In Hebrew today is a partnership. We're making a partnership with Hashem. That's what every mitzvah does. Now that's the goal of all of Kabbalah, is to connect back to Hashem. So here we go, here's the exciting part. We have the four olamot, we bump up every level, and all these exist in a person. Ve'epach v'apav, Hashem is breathed into a person. Man de nafach, min delay nafach. Hashem gave up himself in us. Here's the Sfirot. Rav Yaakov Abuchatzir, the Abir Yaakov, said that there are 13 things going on in davening all over the place. We have 13 words in the Alatila Yadayim that correspond to the 13 Yugamo Midot Rachamim, correspond to the Rabbi Shmuel, corresponds to, I had a few more, he says, it corresponds to the 13 middle brachot of Shmon Esrei, correspond to the Ve'avor. So, what, and Mi'al Kamocha, what do they correspond to? So I gave some suggestions how each one corresponds. You repeat the last three of the Sfirot two times. If you notice, okay, this is what to discuss, because there's Sfirot in each of the different Olamot. So there's, we have to go over, we have Sfirot in Atzilut, and then we go down a level, Sfirot, again in the next level down in Bria. Okay, so I'll save that for homework for another time. Chacham Levi, I'll have to give us on that. And then here was the Ramban's view of the Shemona Esrei. If you break up the Brachot Yachid and Brachot Sibur, he says, look, there's some parallel. Because, for example, we talk about Geula twice. We say, Re'ena Be'onyenu, Brachot Hashem Ka'al Yisrael. He says, that's singular. As not all the words are singular, but he says, that we're looking for, I need for my kids to go to school and not have corona. I need to have furnace. That's what Geula is about. I need a shiduch. I need to get a good grade on the test. That's what Ga'al Yisrael is about. However, we have Tishkon Yisrael. That's asking Hashem for the major gula. And same thing with all of them. They have some sort of parallels. Yes, question. Isaac.
Wouldn't Et Tzemach be about the Tzipin of Yeshua?
Very good. We need Yerushalayim. It's a setup. Et Tzemach David is just fixing a broken sukkah. fixing a broken dynasty. It's hidden in this world. There, it just needs a little bit of repairing. Yerushalayim Shalmata is not Yerushalayim Shalmala. We need that Geula to fix it, and that set, once we have Yerushalayim that's properly built, I know Jakey and Ez are able to have the zechut to see Yerushalayim these days. But that's not the real Yerushalayim we're waiting for. So we first need Geula to set up the spiritual Yerushalayim, and then we can have a Temple David repair that we have here. So it's a slightly different kavanah. And I, if anybody, if not all these are tight, that need to be explained more and understood more, it's not going to be pashut. This is a beautiful thing, but another time. This is Rosh Schwab. Okay, I'll get to that crux, the ikar. Here's like a dart, like the ikar of Rav Shimon Schwab had a beautiful idea. He said, when you go into tefillah, this is no longer Kabbalah. You can take off your Kabbalah hat, figure this is simple stuff. You come into, you're going to try to approach tefillah. He says, tefillah is keneged avoda, keneged the Beit HaMikdash. And how do we look at the Beit HaMikdash? There are a lot of parts to it. Our body's gigantic. The Beit HaMikdash has a lot of different sections. He said, that's exactly the way our tefillah is built, just like the way it was in the Beit HaMikdash. The closer you get to Hashem, the more exciting it is, the more intense the Kedusha is, the more the space doesn't matter. There's an inverse relationship between space and spirituality, right? In Yerushalayim, all Klal Yisrael came for Aliyah Regel, no one complained. But that means it was crammed. Eretz Yisrael was one step down, it's Eretz HaSvi. All Klal Yisrael was able to fit in Eretz Yisrael all the time, but it says like a Svi, if you cut open the deer, it's very, very, the skin tight, it can't be so compact, everything falls apart, you couldn't pack it up and package it again, together again. That's Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is one degree higher. In the Beit HaMikdash, everybody stood in Yom Kippur, Sifufim, next to each other, bumping into each other shoulder to shoulder, not corona safe distance, and then they were Mishtachavim, Revachim, they bowed, and there's a lot of space. The Kodesh Kedashim, it says, had no space. The Kruvim had 20 Amot wingspan, the Kodesh Kedashim was 20 Amot, and then the Aron took up no space in the middle. Incredible miracle. It's a miracle that we can't even imagine. But that's how the inverse, but either way, says Rav Schwab, 15 stairs going up to the Azara, until the opening of the Beit HaMikdash. These 15 stairs correspond to the 15 Berachot HaShachar. Anything that we said, which two letters, if we had a guess, between which two letters of Hashem's name correspond to these 15? Where does 15 come in Hashem's name, if you could pick two letters?
Yod and K.
Yod and K, the first two. Beautiful. That's what 15 is important. We're going to have the Seder soon. 15 parts of the Seder. Rav Kook has a big deal about the 15th night of the month, and 15 kings from David HaMelech, from Moshe Rabbeinu, 15 generations till Shlomo, the climax, the apex of the moon. All these 15s are very important. If you count in the Sidur, how many simanim do we have in the Ketoret? How many told us correctly last before? 11. Is it really 11? Are there more? Anybody ever say, very slowly, is there actually 11, or somebody is trying to get in a rush? They can't.
Saying the weight of them? The Mishkan
Hashem. So it says, we have here. Oh, Bori Karshin. You got Kinamon Tisha, 11. Then we stick on a few more. Bori Karshina, 12. Tisha coming. Yeah, I can be seen. It's intelat coming to the. We got number 13. What a minute! Wait a minute. Imlo matzaya in kavitim in chamar charetik. That's a makeup. Melson amit rova 14. Ma'ale ashan kol shu 15. Revisa Cairo asks on the commentary there. Why did the Gemara say 11? They miscounted. We've been saying this for 2,000 years. No one corrected. They should have made an X over this already. What's the answer? So the Ikar is, there's 11 and 15. They're both right. The reveals the Ikar is dealing with the Simanim, the Chashu Simanim, the difference. But there's, where are the letters in Hashem's name of 11? Which two letters correspond to that? Vavakeh. So we need a 11, and we also, the Klipot of 11, we also need to have a full, beautiful name of Hashem's name completed in this way we see it in this world, the world that we have in front of us, 15. That takes 15. So we need the 11 and the 15. The Noch Teva sank in the 15 amot of water. It sank 11 amot. The Aravot in the Beit HaMikdash and Rosh Hashanah Rabbah were how tall? 11 Amot tall. There, 11 has this, a little bit, this element of Aravot, of including the Rasha, including the Klipot, to bring back the Vavke, the hidden Jew, the hidden sparks that were missing. Says Rosh Hashanah, that's the Berachot HaShachar 15. Gets us in the door. Now we're inside. Now we see the Mizbech, we see the Korbanot, so that's why we say Korbanot in the morning. Beautiful. Say Kitoret. Very nice. Now we get to the Ulam doors. Those correspond to their two doors. Yachin and Boaz. Beautiful doors. That corresponds to the Baruch Shamar Yishtabach. How many Baruchs are there in Baruch Shamar? If we had a guess, now what are the numbers I said? The trick question. 13. Okay, in between. 13. Yishtabach, how many? Also, 13. Except there's two extras that don't get counted often. In Yishtabach, let's look.
Yeah, they have 13, Netzach and all those things are 13.
Yes. I have this fancy Sidur that has the Kavanon Ari, whatever. They, if you see, where is it? Right. So I see 13, but they forget to count two more. There are more praises of Hashem. So we'll get back to. But really, there's sometimes a deeper level. 13 is Rav Avuchatzer said this Sfirot with a little addition to the next Olam. Those are not the klipot, but when we get to 15, we've totally completed the entire cycle. So that's what we're trying to accomplish. There are 13 paragraphs in the Pesukim Zimra. There are, we'll talk about 18 names of Hashem in Az Yashir, 18 names of Hashem in Shema. We'll get back to all these if we could. There's such beauty in all these. I don't know if I'll have any time. Fine. Hechal, we move in, when we get to the Brachot Kriya Shema, we get to the Ulam, that corresponds to the Pesukim Zimra. There is a beautiful thing. There's like a, he says an example in Yichavod. Anybody know how many psukim are in Yichavod? 18. It's
multiple of three.
There's exactly Shakai, six arrangements of Shakai come out. Okay, beautiful. You're right. It's a Kabbalistic thing. There's one word in every single sentence of the Yichavod that I'm sorry. Actually, it's not true. Not every single sentence. There is a word in every sentence of the Yichavod that connects to the paragraph, to the pasuk right before it. So Rav Schwab says that corresponds to there were golden chains hanging down from the ceiling in the Ulam that the Kohanim used to climb up to go and to see the crown of Mashiach and the crown of the Kohen Gadol. And they used to have these beautiful crowns. So that's connected to the 18 chains psukim and in Yichavod. The reason we do 18 Shemot in Az Yashir is to get to the 72-letter name of Hashem that we express when we get to Shemona Esrei. Because 18 times 4, 4-letter name of Hashem, Yukei Vavkei, we say in Az Yashir 18 times. How much? 18 times 4? 72. So that's a side point. But once you get...
11-15 gap, 4 or something?
Oh, okay. The 4, the reason we have this, the reason I'm trying to explain like this is like that... Hashem is giving us an opportunity to grab onto this klipot to make those 11 into the 15 sometimes. We start with the 11 of Ketoret. The Rabbi Yosef Karo says there are 11 primary elements of the Ketoret. Those have a fixed amount. They have to be a very chashuv amount. They make up the main thing. There are 11, there are 4, there are just side ingredients that enhance it. But they're sort of ingredients that we can't come in contact with and we don't know. We know what they are or whatever. But we sometimes don't express them. When we're talking usually, we talk in usually 10, in the sense of 10. That's as far as we could see. We don't even usually invite the Rasha. On Yom Kippur, we'll get to 11. To get in 15, as we're waiting for Mashiach to get to 15. So that's what 15 is about. So we don't call it 15 in the Ketorah, but there are 15 in the Ketorah.
No, but in the Ketorah, really, that they offered in the Kodesh HaKodashim and in Ben HaMikdash, you're chayav mitah if you don't do it right. So,
yes. Well,
right? So it has to be 11. There has to be a real number.
The real number, the Ikar. So the Rebbe Zakar says the Ikar is 15. The Ikar is really 15. The reason really we call 15. It 11 is because 11 of the Chashuv ones. He gives an interpretation, he has a different answer, which is only on Yom Kippur is a Chayav. That's Rashi's opinion. Only Chayav Mita on Yom Kippur in the Kodesh Kodashim if you bring it without 15. The rest of the year it's okay with 11. So that's beautiful what we're trying to say now. On Yom Kippur, we reach the highest levels where the Kohen Gadol was, like connected like Adam Rishon was, to see the level of Hashem with 15 in completeness. We don't have that today, so now we have 11 of the Keturah. Whichever answer you like. But I'm trying just to stress that there is this dynamic a little bit. Okay, let me go to some other things here and make it clear. That was from the Rashash, I don't have the time. The Kaddish is a beautiful like explanation how the 10 Sfirot, this is Hashem's name expanding from 4-letter name to 10-letter name, Milui, if you spell it out, to 28-letter. Everything Kaddish wraps up like that. That Ruvu Chatzera has, it connects to Yadi, that's the name and the name of the Beit HaMikdash. This is the Sefer Pardis, the way to look at the Kaddish. 10 Mamarot of the... here's something I enjoy very much, the 18 Shemot. This is the Chazal, this is the Gemara Megillah. That when the Chazal crafted Shemona Esrei, what do they base it on? So one, Chazal said one of the explanations is there were 18 names of Hashem's name in the Psukim in Mizmor LeDavid. And we say this by Friday night. The Chidal says, because this represents Kabbalah, he brings a acrostic, Heshtachavu LaHashem Adra Kodesh, Rosh Tevot, Kabbalah backwards. But the Ikar here is you have 18 names of Hashem, the 17-letter name altogether. You have 7 kolot, meaning each kol is one day of creation. 7th day of creation is Shabbat. First one is Bnei Elim, the quiet ones or the mighty ones. Who are the Bnei Elim? The Avot, the Gemara says. Who are the mighty ones who keep the world going? The Avot. Who is Kavod Va'oz? That's talking about Gvura, that's talking about Yitzchak Avinu, that's talking about Hashem's strength when he brings Gvura, Gvura Geshemin, the second Bracha Shmoneh Esrei. Hadra Kodesh, third Bracha Shmoneh Esrei. B'shalom, Lesh Bracha Shmoneh Esrei. That's how the Chazal, there are 91 words, if you count in this Mizmor, correspond to Ha'elokim, or correspond to Malach. Because everything here is corresponding to the way we have our Shmoneh Esrei. So let me just see what else I got here. I'll just go finish with this. I know I'm going over. If you want to go, by all means. We had the Shmona Esrei, we had the 13s, and now there's another way, instead of the 11 and 15 coming together to make a unity of Hashem's name, there's another way of achieving Hashem's name completely, and that's having two parallel aspects of, and then we'll answer our questions, we'll try to wrap this up, of Yoga Momino Rachamim. The Arizal says, when Chanukah we say two brachot, to so I could, but the Ashkenazi way to sing it, I don't know if you'll tell me the rock, Baruch Atah Hashem, and we do Elkeinu Melech Olam, Asher Lahalik Ner Chanukah. So we don't say Shel Chanukah. How many words? 13. Next bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem, da 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 da. Shas Anisa Lavotenu by Mimahim, Bazman Azeh. How many words? 13. So 13 makes 26. Ahava is 13. Achad is 13. But you know what? That's incomplete. When I have love of Hashem myself, that's not complete. I need Bidan al-Khavir. I need my friend to partner with. That's Ahava. Ahava is 20. Ahava is 26. Two Ahavas makes 26. That's what we need to start talking about Tzedakah. That's what we need to talk about Ketorah. Ketorah, Aramaic for anybody. This is a very hard one. As you know this one. What's Keturah in Aramaic? It's a hard... I don't know. Again, it's a knot, a tie. That's what Keturah is about. It's tying Kaiso together. It's critical that we have to bring the Yigum Midot of Rachamim. We need all these things to connect. We have 26 letters. We say Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. That's why we don't say Elokei Yisrael. That's what the Ari says. Why do we don't say Elokei Yisrael? We say Elokei Yaakov because even though the real name is Israel, because we want to get 26. Fine, beautiful. So now to answer our questions, why is it that the davening starts with tzedakah? The answer is because, as Dr. Levy was saying, we want to include everybody here. We want to make sure that we have Binan al-Havir included, make sure that we have that 11th Ketoret, 11th ingredient of the Ketoret, that's not part of the Ikar, Minyan, but we need to make sure that we're looking out for that person too. We're looking out for that Arava, that's 11. The Yud-K, the Klipot, we have to encompass, we have to collect them, we have to save them, save that princess, we have to bring it back together. Hopefully we're going to reach the level of the Yud-K together, the 15. The highest level, the apex, like Shlomo, if it was 15 generations after Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the highest that we're hoping for. 15 stairs for the Bnei Midrash, 15 Shir HaMa'alot. So that's how 11, and I'll end off with idea about, I think I answered my question. Yeah? What now? I have last point of Adar. How does Adar have anything to do with this? Rosh Chodesh Adar. The idea is Adar is gematria. How much? If your brains are tired from the math, I'll give it to you easily. 205. How much is Machane? Mem, Chet. This is, okay, 103. 103 times 2 is 206. So that corresponds with the word itself of Har. It corresponds to Har, Adar. The Gemara says that Avraham was zochah to one Machane, but he was Avraham Nikra Har. Because when he would pray, he saw Kadosh Baruch Hu, he saw the mountain, he saw the har, and he would pray by a har, by the mountain. That's what it says in the Gemara of Pesachim. Now it says, what about Yitzchak? Where did he pray? What's Gematria Sadeh? 309. How much is 309 divided by 3?
103.
103, Machaneh. Now take Yaakov. Vayivein Yaakov Bayit. And it's a, well, how much is Bayit?
412.
Good. How much is the 412 divided by 4? Machaneh, again. So Yitzchak, you keep adding each avot. How much is 5 times Machaneh? 515. What's 515? 515 corresponds to Ve'echanan, the Gematria. Corresponds to the Kabbalistic, to Vayavor. It's not the Gematria Vayavor. Kabbalistic is associated with it. I don't know the Gematria, why it is. But it's connected also with Shira. It's also connected with 515, the completion of the Beit HaMikdash that we're hoping for. So that's what 515 is connected with. And Adar is saying right now we're on the cusp of the beginning of Tefillah. We have a Machaneh, two Machanayim in front of us that Adar helps us think about, and it connects to Ani ve'Evyon. Gematria Ani ve'Evyon, also 206. Because it's connection. You can only have Tefillah when you have Ani ve'Evyon together, and just like Hashem revived Klal Yisrael by the times of the Purim story, Rambam says we're poor, we're destitute in our spiritual lives, just like we're going to be doing Matzonah Avionim to the poor. Hashem revived us then, and Hashem will revive us in Hashem with the Geula, with our Tefillah, to come close to Him, and be like that kid that falls in the embrace with his father, because we really have that Amunah Pshuta, that's the Ikar, to come closer to Hashem. I know I didn't get to anything about coming late to davening. Ikar, the one line is, don't come late to davening. Okay, any questions?
206 is the area code of Seattle.
Okay, very nice.
And if you take out the zero, it's also Hashem's name.
Oh.
You know, that's 26. 206 is 26.
Excellent. Okay. I'm sorry, I really didn't get to halacha. You can look at halacha, Peter. We can talk. Any questions? Or maybe next time we'll do more halacha. I just got excited about the ideas here.
No, this is great. This is great. I like the gematria and all the connections. I have to do chazaran the shiva.